The book of John, Freedom Sunday. We are grateful for the freedoms that we enjoy living here in this great country. But this morning, we are going to look at the greatest freedom that is made available to us. As you turn to John chapter 8, the passage begins with Jesus speaking with a couple of groups of different people. This is an interesting time during the children of Israel's timeline in this particular chapter. This is a time where there are some ceremonies, there were some religious leaders gathered who Jesus is speaking with. And these ceremonies were very important ceremonies because it would be things that they would do to remember what Jesus had done for them in the desert, how he had given them water from a rock, how he provided food for them and preserved them to the place that God had for them. But the thing that's very interesting about these conversations is there were some people that believed in Jesus, that believed what he had done and what he was going to do. But then there were some religious leaders who were not very happy about what was going on. And as we see our text in John chapter 8, look down at what it says, starting in verse number 31. John chapter 8, verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Verse 35, "And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever." If you would just see what it says in verse number 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Amen. Only Christ can free what sin has bound. Amen. Only Christ can free what sin has bound. Like I said this morning, I'm thankful for being able to live in a country where we have freedoms. And even from the beginning of history, people have fought for freedom. Nations have gone to war for it. Families have sacrificed for it. Countless lives have been given so that others could enjoy it, which is why we need to be even more thankful for those who have given their lives. But we need to be thankful for God, for the liberty that he has given us and the freedoms that we have because of being here in this country, the opportunity to worship freely, to open the Bible freely, and to be able to preach the gospel without fear. I'm thankful for those blessings. Amen. But the question I have for each and every one of us this morning is it possible, to live in the freest nation on earth and yet still be in bondage? Can someone look great on the outside? Can someone be enjoying the freedoms that we can enjoy and still be enslaved on the inside? There are many people today who walk around with a smile. They have food in their stomachs. They have clothes. They look good. They have jobs. They have the cars. They have the house. But deep down, only between them and God, they are enslaved. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're sitting here, maybe you got here at a great time, maybe things are going well for you in the past week, but deep down, something's bothering you. Deep down, there's no joy or any peace. Maybe that's you this morning, or maybe you know someone else who fits that description. As we turn to our text, Jesus begins by speaking to those who made a decision to believe in him, but then he begins to speak to the religious leaders, and Jesus explains to them the importance of freedom that only he can give. The reason why this is so important is because the Jews knew that they were free in some kind of way, but Jesus knew that the freedom that he was talking about, many people did not have. The question I have for you this morning is, have you been set free by Jesus? Are you living in freedom, or are you still enslaved in the bondage this morning? Like I said, we enjoy many freedoms, but the greatest freedom is only something that can come from God. This morning, as we look at our text, I want us to notice three important truths about freedom that only Christ can provide from bondage of sin. First of all, I want you to know this point number one, the key to freedom. The key to freedom. If we see in verse number 31, we read, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Jesus begins by speaking to those people who had already believed in him. And Jesus makes a distinction between being a believer and being a disciple. Before we talk about being a disciple, I believe this morning we need to talk about what does it mean to be a believer. We know the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Why do we need everlasting life? If we believe on him, then we won't perish. We won't be eternally separated from God, but we will have eternal life. But why do we need it? It's because we are sinners. Sin isn't just a circumstance. It's not just a decision that we decide to make. Sin is our condition before God. Romans 5:12 says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," the first man and female that were ever created, Adam and Eve, when God told them, "Do not take of the fruit of the garden," they could eat of anything, but they disobeyed God's one command. And it was that sin that has been passed down to all of us. If you continue reading Romans 5:12, "As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We all are sinners this morning. 1 John 3:4 says, "Whosoever committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." We are all sinners because we all fall short of God's holy standard of what he is and what we are to be. We fall short. We have all transgressed God's standard. It doesn't matter if you're a teacher this morning. It doesn't matter if you're a politician. It does not matter if you have a great job, if you're an accountant, whatever that may be. Each and every one of us are all sinners before God. It doesn't matter where you were born, who you know, who you are related to. Each and every one of us are enslaved in the bondage of sin. And because we have sinned, the Bible also says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But those wages, the penalty, what we deserve because we are sinners, is eternal separation from God. That is what we've earned. Because of our sin, because we are sinners, that is what we have to look forward to because of our sin. And it's honestly, it's what we deserve. Yes, sir. Because of our condition. That is why we can't be free. That's why it doesn't matter what we do or where we go. Wherever we go, we cannot be free because of sin. You may say this morning, "Oh, I'm a good person. I go to church. I read the Bible. I've given some donations. Maybe I've even volunteered to help in the church." It does not matter. We are all still in bondage to sin. And because of this, we are all equally sinners. For all have sinned means everyone. That's why we can't compare ourselves to other people. Paul said in Romans chapter 3, we know verse 23, but look what it says in verse 22. "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference." And then that sentence continues in verse 23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's the bad news, that we are enslaved in bondage to sin. Why don't you thank you for this morning that there was hope? And that we were not left in that condition. Amen. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And it continues in verse 9, "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Even though we were sinners, even though there was nothing that we can do for our condition, in his love, God sent his son to die on the cross for us, for our sins. And he paid our debt. See, the only way that we can be saved from our spiritual bondage and from God's wrath is to receive his free gift of salvation, which is offered to the entire world. Aren't you thankful this morning that we don't have to wish for freedom? Aren't you thankful this morning that we don't have to long for freedom? It's one of the blessings of living here in this country. We have freedom, and there are many other countries who do not have the freedom that we get to enjoy. But I'm thankful this morning we don't have to wish, we don't have to hope, we don't have to long for it. Amen. But because of Jesus Christ and what he's done, amen, We can have freedom. We can have true freedom this morning. There is hope for every sinner. No one has sinned too much. No one is too broken. It doesn't matter what you have done in the past. Romans 10:13 still says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you are here this morning and you have never experienced freedom from the bondage of sin, the great thing is you can call on him today and receive him as your personal savior. You see, the greatest freedom is freedom from sin and from the penalty of sin. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." We can experience true freedom, but only through Jesus Christ. And once we receive him as our personal Savior, we are no longer condemned. We will no longer perish. We are no longer separated from God. We are now in a relationship with God, and that is the greatest freedom that we can ever have. You are now victorious. You have freedom because you are in Christ, no longer enslaved to sin. And sin no longer is your master and has dominion over you. That is what it means to be a believer. That is what it means to be a Christian. And that's why Jesus is speaking to those Jews that believed on him. They had experienced new life in Christ. We've talked about being a believer, but now we're going to talk about being a disciple. Because he says it in the first few words of verse 31, "If ye continue in my word." See, there were many people in the Bible who believed Christ for salvation, but an identification for a disciple of Christ was someone who continued, someone who followed Christ. The next step of a believer is to become a follower of Christ. And as we're reading this, I began to think of those people in the Bible who had received Christ and who wanted to go with Jesus. We understand that Jesus had 12 disciples that followed him, went where he went. But realistically, not everyone could do that. So what Jesus is saying here is, if you are a disciple, it doesn't mean that you have to physically be walking with Jesus as he was traveling with his disciples. It means what I've commanded you, continue in it. What I've told you to do, follow it. And then you are my disciples indeed. We're going to look at verse 36 and what that indeed is also. But I notice that if you continue in the word, it says, "Then are ye my disciples indeed." See, if Christ is your personal Savior this morning, we are now called to be followers of Christ by continuing in his word. True freedom begins with the relationship with Christ, but that's not the end. It's also continuing and by following him. Are you continuing in his words this morning? Are you following Jesus? It's something that we're all called to do, to be a disciple of Jesus. But there also has to be something that you desire. Remember when that rich young ruler went to Jesus and said, "Master, I want to follow you." That was his desire. And then what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Okay, if that's your desire, if that's truly what you want to do, what do you have to do? Hey, sell what he had and follow him." And what was his response? He walked away, the Bible says, very sorrowful. You see, the idea of being associated with Jesus sounded great. The idea of being with Jesus, experiencing the miracles, maybe seeing what Jesus could do. Maybe he heard of those miracles. Maybe he heard stories of what Jesus could do. And that sounded great to him. It sounded wonderful. But then it all came to a halt when Jesus said to sell what he had and follow him. And we see that response tells us what his priorities were. That response tells him, hey, what meant more to him. You see, when it comes to being a follower of Christ, being a disciple, it causes us to sacrifice some things. Maybe it's the time. Maybe those things that you would rather do, those things that you want to do, that has to be put to the side to follow Christ. Maybe it's your comfort. Maybe choosing to obey God over convenience or surrendering to his will. But we may have to sacrifice some things to follow Christ. How well do you know Christ this morning? Are you intentional about following him? If we look at verse number 32, what it says, "And ye shall know the truth. See, if they have believed and if they continue and follow in his words, then they shall know the truth. See, when we open God's word and we read what he has for us, it's not just about reading stories. It's not just about reading what God is doing. It's about knowing Christ. It's about continuing in his word. It's about knowing the way that we should live and the way that we should act as a disciple of Christ. But notice what it says as we continue, verse 32, and the truth shall make you free. You see, the freedom that Jesus is explaining, it's a result of following him and knowing the truth. When we obey his word, when we do what he asks us to do, we're following it and we are obeying it. He transforms us. He frees us. He changes us. And that is a result of us knowing the one who is truth. See, the key to freedom, it's not just knowing the truth, but it's about continuing in what God's word says. See, the more time that we spend with him, the more that we know him, then we begin to trust him, then we begin to follow him, then we begin to obey him. But if we are all disciples of Christ, if we all have believed, then there is another step that we need to take. Christians, what is that step for you this morning? Maybe you're here and you have never received Christ as your personal Savior. Well, the first and necessary step is salvation. Your eternal destination changed because of Christ. Or maybe you've done that. Or maybe you haven't been baptized yet. See, when we see in the Bible, when we see baptism, it always follows salvation. Baptism doesn't save you. It's just a picture of what Jesus did in your heart. And that's the first step of a believer, because once you receive him into your heart, then you need to identify with him. And when someone gets baptized, the picture is showing is, hey, Christ has made a change in my life. He has saved me, and I am identifying with him. That's what baptism is. Baptism doesn't save you. It doesn't do anything else besides a picture of identification with Christ. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been baptized. Maybe you're here, maybe you've been in church for a couple of years and you haven't found a place to serve. Maybe you're here, maybe you've enjoyed the worship, enjoyed the preaching, but maybe you haven't joined the church yet. I'm not sure what step you are on that path, but if we are to continue in his word, if we are to obey God's word as followers of Christ, we need to find out what that step is and obey it, because it's what the Bible says. If we are to continue in God's word, well, first of all, it starts by reading it daily. You can't continue in God's word that's only open on Sunday mornings. You can't continue in God's word that's open on Wednesday evenings. We can't put the word of God in a box and say, I'll only open it when the church doors are open. That's not what continuing and following God's word is. It's about reading God's word and knowing him. Notice what Psalms chapter 1, verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalms chapter 1, it talks about two different people. You know, those who in the counsel of the ungodly, those who are not doing the right thing. But hey, those who are in the word that is meditating on day and night, the Bible says he shall be like a tree planted and will give fruit and shall be successful. But he has to be meditating and reading God's word. But it's not only just reading it, it's also about obeying it. You see, continuing isn't just about hearing it, it's about doing it. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. When God shows you something in his word, whether it's on a Sunday or in your personal devotions, what is your response to it? Whether it's a promise that he has asked us to claim and we claim it, what about when it's correction? What about when he's challenging us? What's our response then? What if it's something that we need to put away so that we can follow Christ wholeheartedly? What's our response then? See, it's not enough just to hear it. We have to actually obey it. Not only do we have to obey it, but we also need to build our life around it. You see, instead of responding or doing what we want to do, what our will or our decisions, what we desire to do, instead, as we study God's word and we're in it every day, we need to ask God, God, what do you want me to do? With the way I live in following you, what do you want me to do? and we build our life around God's word. See, the key to the greatest freedom is to believe in him and also to continue in God's word and what he wants us to do. First of all, we talked about the key for freedom, but point number two, notice what it says in verse number 33. I want you to notice, secondly, the need for freedom. Verse 33 says, they answered him. So this is their response to what Jesus said. He said, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I'm sure as Jesus is hearing this, he kind of chuckles a little bit. Because if anyone should understand about being in bondage, if anyone should understand about slavery, it was the church of Israel, right? They were in Egypt. They were enslaved. And then once they got out of Egypt, they were captives. They were going through all sorts of bondage and slavery. And they're saying themselves, we are Abraham's seed. How can we've never been in bondage to any man. How can you say we are free? But what these religious people did not understand was that Jesus wasn't talking about national freedom or government freedom. He's talking about spiritual freedom. They were even in bondage right there at that time with the Roman Empire. They were in bondage. But Jesus was talking about being truly free. And as I read verse 33, I noticed that they were relying on who they were for freedom. Look what it says in that first opening place. It said, we be Abraham's seed. They were saying that there is no way that we're not free because of who we are. Ultimately, they did not think that they needed freedom. And that's a problem. They thought just because of who they were, because of their name, that they could be fine just going about their lives day after day, year after year, and not needing freedom. But Jesus is saying you need freedom. Why does he say that? Look what it says in verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Jesus is saying, because you are sinners, which we've established already when it comes to being a believer, because we are sinners, we are already enslaved and servants to sin. You see, the Jews thought they were good enough because of who they were. But what they didn't understand was they didn't even recognize their need for it. And that's a problem. They were trusting in other means for freedom. What are you trusting in this morning for freedom? What are you trusting in for salvation? They didn't think that they needed the freedom that God was offering. I remember when I was in college, when I was a dorm supervisor in the hall, every couple of months we had alarm checks. So it was an alarm, fire alarm, and they do a test to see how many people can get out, you know, just to have those safety tests. And the responsibilities that I had with four other guys was we rang the fire alarm. So that was pretty cool. We were able to do that. But what the whole point of it was they would time us to see how quickly we can get out of the building. So we sounded the fire alarm. Everyone's going outside. You know, this was around 11 p.m., almost midnight. So guys are tired. You know, they're asking, why are we doing this? It's for your safety, you know. So by the time we all got outside, then the dorm supervisor was supposed to get all the guys that's in the hall together and say, we're all here, we're all here. So I was counting the guys that I had, and pretty much everyone was there. And there was one guy missing. And I was like, come on, guys. And the rule is, no one can go back in the building until everyone is outside. So we're just like, okay, where's this guy? So I have to go back inside and go to the halls, knocking on the doors. And could you believe it? This guy was still in his bed, sound asleep. So I wake him up. I said, come on, you got to wake up. It's time to go. He slowly opened his eyes, and he said, what's going on? I said, what's going on? You can't hear this fire alarm? Like, wake up, wake up. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said to me, I don't think I need to go. I said, what? Let me hear that again. He said, yeah, I don't think this is for me. I said, you're in this building. You're a student, and the alarm is going off. This is exactly for you. So he went outside. He was frustrated. But I couldn't believe he said that. He said, I don't think this is for me. You know, many of us act that exact same way. How many times have we heard a challenge from God's word? We hear something that God speaks to us about in his word during the preaching, maybe in your personal devotions, and you say, that's not for me. If we read it in God's word and he speaks to us, that's exactly for you. And the question is, what is your response? You see, as we read God's word, he's trying to transform us. He's trying to make us more like him, to be conformed to his image. And as we read God's word and he speaks to his heart, he points out those things that we need to correct. He points out those things that we need to take care of. And if we go in and out saying, that's for me, we start picking and choosing which sections of the Bible that we respond to, then we are not truly obeying or continuing in God's word. And the issue that these leaders had was, they didn't think freedom was for them. See, as we read God's word, it has a purpose. And Jesus was warning them that they were headed to eternal judgment, separated from him, unless they understood their need for freedom. What a dangerous place to be in. It's a great danger to think that you're not a sinner. But I think an even greater danger is believing that you don't need a savior. That's a dangerous place to be in. See, they were being deceived because they thought they were just fine on their own. He says in verse 34 that whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin. This is something that they couldn't escape on their own. This is something that money couldn't buy for them. This is something that it didn't matter who they were, their achievements, their resume. They still had a problem with sin. And we all also have a problem with sin. See, it's a blessing that we can enjoy freedoms. It's a blessing that we can worship freely. But if we don't do anything about that sin, we're still in bondage. We're still in spiritual slavery to sin unless something is done about it. This was a choice given to the Pharisees. They did not understand their need to be free, but every time they had a choice. They could either believe what Jesus was preaching, or they could go about their merry way. And this morning, each and every one of us, we have a choice. In order to accept the freedom that Jesus offers, you have to understand your need. This isn't a decision that your parents can make for you. It's not a decision that your family can make for you, your friends. It has to be a personal decision. It's up to you to decide what you're going to do with it. See, the people that Jesus was speaking to were very religious. If you ask them, I'm sure they could quote the law. I'm sure they could tell every story starting from Abraham and on. But many times, we meet people and we find out that it's very possible to know about God without belonging to God. Maybe you have been coming to church. You know the Bible stories. You know the verses. You know the worship songs. But do you belong to God? Are you still enslaved? Since we are sinners and sin is our master, then the question becomes, who has the authority to break us from the bondage of sin? We talked about the key to freedom, the need for freedom. But lastly, look what it says in verse 35 as we talk about the source for freedom. Verse 35, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. We'll get to the rest of that verse in a minute. But I think this is very interesting the way Jesus does this. Because in the previous verse, if you remember, he said, whosoever committeth sin is a servant to sin. So what's established is that we are servants to sin. And then in verse 35, he says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever. Because we are servants to sin, we do not have a relationship with God. We do not have an eternal destination of heaven because of who we are. However, look what it says in verse 35. But the Son abideth ever. Jesus compares a servant and a son in a household. I remember growing up in Nigeria, we would have a Nigerian a housemaid that would help clean and do all sorts of different things. And I'll never forget the first one that we had, and my family here, they can attest to it. It was a bit strange, just a little strange, because now you have someone who you have no idea who they are from Adam, someone that's in your house, you know, doing the same things. And at first, it was pretty cool until it was time for dinner, and everyone gathered at the table, including our housemate. And I'll never forget the first time I was young back then, I was thinking, what is she doing here? I was thinking, you know, why is she sitting at our table? You know, another time we'd be watching the movie and she joined us and I was thinking, wait, what's happening? And you know, once I got older, I understood it. But Jesus is saying that a servant is in the house, but they're not a part of the family. They're not a part of the house. They come in, they go, they do different things, but that's different from being a son. A son is a part of the house. A son's his future. He has the authority. He has the inheritance. He has everything because he is a son. You see, every person apart from Christ is a servant, a slave to sin. That's all of us before the son did something. We don't have the authority to do anything about our sin, but Jesus does. He has the power to break the bondage of sin. And that's exactly what he did. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin." This is why only Jesus could do it, because he was the perfect, sinless sacrifice for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because he is the Son, he has the power, he has the authority. He has authority over sin, over death. He has authority to forgive sins, and he has authority to set sinners free. He is the source of true freedom. Only Jesus can make this change in your life. You see, Jesus, the Son of God, is the only one who can grant us freedom. And then look what it says in verse 36. "If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." I love how it starts in verse 31. He says, "If you continue and obey my word, ye are my disciples indeed." Then verse 36, "If the Son, therefore, has made you free, then you shall be free indeed." That's an emphasis. That's saying, hey, there was no boundaries, there were no strings attached. If Christ has made you free, then you are completely, genuinely, thoroughly, truly free from sin. That's only Jesus can do. It's not just a little bit. I'm thankful it's not just a period of time, but completely we are free. We are no longer a servant to sin, but we are now children of God. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him," that's Jesus, "to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." The greatest freedom isn't that we can live any kind of way. The greatest freedom isn't that we can freely worship. The greatest freedom is that we are now no longer enslaved to sin. And sin does not have control over us. Many people this morning are looking in the wrong places for freedom. They try to throw money at it. They think having a big house, a big car, social media, they look for acceptance and identity. But this morning, if we're looking for true freedom, we have to go to the source, and that is Jesus. There's no need to look for freedom in fame, wealth, or relationships. The source of our freedom is Jesus, and he paid the price of our sins on the cross. Aren't you thankful he didn't stay dead? Aren't you thankful that on the third day he rose again? He has victory over sin, victory over death, and because of that, we can also have victory. I can't help but remember the report that Pastor Kim gave this morning. You see all the pictures of all those false idols, those false gospels that people are believing in. Aren't you thankful that Jesus, who came down, died for us, isn't still dead today? He rose again on the third day. Amen. And he is offering the free gift of salvation and true freedom to each and every one of us this morning. The story of a man who was in prison, and the president heard about it, and he decided to give this man a free pardon. He didn't do anything for it. He didn't pay for it. He was just going to receive a pardon. His messenger went to the prisons and gave it to him and said, hey, you're free. You can have this pardon. His messenger was shocked to hear that he said, no, I don't want it. He said, I don't want that pardon. Messenger was kind of confused. He went back to the president, told him what happened, and he said, hey, all I can do is offer the pardon. Yes, sir. It's up to him to accept it. Yes. You know, many of us can walk out of here and say that, you know what? This message is not for me. I'm perfectly fine doing things on my own. You could very well do that. You know, no one could stop you. But if you want to experience true freedom, Jesus is offering the free gift of salvation to each and every one of you. The question is, will you accept it? Do you desire freedom from the bondage of sin? John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We don't have to be enslaved. We don't have to be in bondage, because we can enjoy the greatest freedom this morning because it has already been paid. How can a person experience this freedom? It's about the key to freedom. This morning, true freedom begins by continuing in God's word and following him. We have to understand our need for freedom. True freedom is necessary because we are all slaves to sin. But the source of our freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. There is no one else that can provide that freedom like Jesus can. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's have a time of invitation this morning. You may be here this morning and maybe you have never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. If that's the case, then today you are still living in the bondage of sin. You may have freedom in many areas of life, but the greatest freedom you haven't experienced yet. The good news is that you can still experience that today. The good news is that Jesus has already paid the price. He died for your sins, he was buried, and he rose again. The invitation is open for you today. The Son is ready to set you free. Will you stop trusting in yourself this morning? No need to trust in your goodness, your religion, or your heritage, but just place your faith in Jesus Christ alone. Let's all stand this morning, every head bowed, every eyes closed. If you're here this morning, I just have two questions for you. You may say, Pastor Ben, I'm done trusting in myself. I learned this morning that I am enslaved to sin. I have never trusted Christ as my Savior. But I want to be saved. I want to experience true freedom. If that's you, would you please raise your hand with me and put them down? I just want to pray for you. I don't want to embarrass you. No one is looking around. I just want to pray for you. If that's you, please raise your hand. Thank you. Next question I have is, Christians, as believers, are you living in the freedom that Christ has given us? We're still sinners. Is there some sin that you are still enslaved to? Is there some sin that needs to be confessed? We don't have to live in defeat this morning. We can live in victory. This morning, perhaps that next step is to return to him. You can lay down that burden that you've been carrying. Confess whatever has come between you and the Lord. that's you this morning, if you say, Brother Ben, something in the message God spoke to my heart this morning. If that's you, would you please raise your hand? Something spoke to my heart. I want to be free. God can provide this morning. You can put your hand down. The altar is open. If you would like to speak to God, confess sins, get back and return to Him, you can do that this morning as Christians are praying. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to have the freedoms in this country. Father, we're so blessed, many times we take it for granted. But more importantly, thank you for providing us with the greatest freedom and the victory because of what you did for us on the cross. I pray that we would live in freedom this morning, but also we would point others to you. Pray that we will continue in what you have called us to do. Thank you that you have made us free this morning. Pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank